I want you to take your Bibles tonight and turn to Joshua chapter 7. I'm going to try to do two things at once. All right, we're going to continue our study in the book of Joshua, and then I'm going to give you something to think about for New Year's. Okay? And so we're going to read the first five verses, and then I'm going to remind you where we are and then sort of make a New Year's application. So Joshua chapter 7, beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, "But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethaven on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water." You remember a few weeks ago when we last looked at the book of Joshua, we left Israel after they had just defeated Jericho. You remember the unique battle plan that God had given them. They were to march around the city one time for 6 days, and then seven times the seventh day. The Ark of the Covenant, again, where the presence of God dwelt, went before them, leading the way. The trumpets sounded. And then on that seventh day, the people were to be quiet the first 6 days, but on the seventh day, when the trumpets sounded, the people were to shout. And as they shouted, the walls of Jericho fell down flat, and Israel won a great victory. Everybody in the city was killed except Rahab and her family. And God had told Joshua, he said, now look, this is the first city. This is the first fruits. Everything in this city is mine. Everything, the silver and the gold and the riches of the city, is to be brought into the treasury of the Lord. And so that's where we left them. Now, chapter 7 starts with that three-letter word, but. But. And usually when you see the word but in the Bible, it means that trouble is coming. God said, everything in Jericho is mine. But there was a man named Achan who sinned. And I want you to notice real quickly, it's not the main part of my study tonight, but I want you to notice the steps that led to Achan's sin. It followed a familiar pattern. He saw, he desired, he took. I mean, the same pattern that we saw in the first sin with Eve. She saw the fruit of the forbidden tree. She desired it to make her wise, and then she took. And most sins follow that same pattern. We see, we desire, we take. Better not to see, better not to look. Eve would have been a whole lot better off to keep her eyes off the fruit, just like Achan would have been a whole lot better off to keep his eyes off what he took. And if he did see it, better to be content with what you have and not desire what you don't have. But if you look and if you desire, better not to take than to take and disobey God. And so Achan took. And later in the chapter, I mean, it's just in a general sense mentioned there in verse 1, but later on in chapter 7, and we'll look at it next week or the week after, we see what he took. He took a garment, a piece of clothing. He took 200 shekels of silver, and he took a wedge of gold worth 50 shekels. Now, again, I don't know how much money that would have been worth in our day. I mean, it could have been not much. It could have been a lot. It doesn't make any difference. The price that was ended up being paid for that garment, silver and gold, far outweighed the value of what he took. And the Israelites paid the price as they went to the next city that God wanted them to take, the city of Ai. It was a smaller city, and Joshua sent spies. And after they went and looked at the city of Ai, they came back to their commander, to Joshua, and said, look, we don't need to send the whole army. It's a small city. There's not many people. Let's just send 2,000 or 3,000 of our soldiers. Joshua ended up sending 3,000. And as we read, as they went to fight against Ai, they fled. The men of Ai chased them from their gate, and 36 soldiers from the Jewish army, from the Israeli army, 36 soldiers were killed. Anybody remember how many soldiers were killed at Jericho? None. Not one soldier was killed at Jericho. And yet 36 of them were killed at Ai. Israel paid a price. Achan paid a price, because later on in the chapter, and again we'll talk about it next week or the week after, he and his family, after his sin was discovered, after, you know, and by the way, your sin will always find you out. You may be able to hide it from you know, your family, you may be able to hide it from your friends, but you'll never hide it from God. And when the Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out, it will find you out. And when Achan's sin was found out, he paid a terrible, terrible price. He and his wife, his children, and all his goods were gathered together into a valley. They were stoned and then burned. Now again, tell me, how much would that garment, silver, and gold have to be worth for it to outweigh the price that the nation of Israel and Achan and his family paid? I don't care if it was worth $3 million. I don't think it was worth $3 billion. I don't care if it was worth all the money in the world. The price that they paid for their sin, for his sin, far outweighed what he got. And by the way, that's true of most every sin. It's true of most every sin. And I think about that verse in the Bible that says, though a man gain the whole world and lose his own soul, he's made a bad choice. And he has. So, let me make an application. And again, I'm going to give it a New Year's theme. 2011 has been a wonderful year for our church. We've seen people saved and baptized. We've had double-digit growth, which for any church is a wonderful thing, to have double-digit growth. We've had tons of first-time visitors that God just sent. I mean, nobody invited them. They just came. They drove by. They saw our website. Nobody gave them a personal invitation. They just came because God sent them. And the Holy Spirit has met with us in a marvelous way just about every service. And so 2011 has been a wonderful year. Now, we're about to turn the pages on 2011. We're about to open the book on 2012. It's just a few days away. As we move to our next year, as we move to the next city that God wants us to take, as we move to our Ai, here's the questions I want you to think about. Will God's blessings continue to fall? Will we have another Jericho kind of year? Or will we fail at Ai? You see, I believe that God puts stories in the Bible, stories of his people, so that we can learn from them. I believe there are some lessons in these first five verses of Joshua chapter 7 that we need to heed and we need to pay attention to. I believe that there were some mistakes made by God's people as they went toward Ai, mistakes that we need to avoid. And so tonight, in a real simple Bible study, I want to mention three of those mistakes in the hopes that we don't make them as we go in to our Ai, as we go into the year 2012. Mistake number one, the people were overconfident. The people were overconfident. The spies went to check out Ai. They came back and they said, oh, there's not many of them. We don't need to send the whole army. Let's just send 2,000 or 3,000 men. That'll be enough. That they should be able to handle anything they run into in Ai. And again, Joshua decided to send 3,000 men. You don't need to turn to it, but in chapter 8, verse 25, after they had paid for the sin, and after the whole army went to Ai, the whole army, they took the city of Ai. And in taking it, they killed 12,000 men. 12,000 men that were in Ai. So here's the spies. They said, oh, there's not many. People in Ai. 2,000 or 3,000 soldiers should be able to handle it. I want you to think about the odds with me. If they would have sent 2,000 men, the odds would have been 6-1. Six Ai-ins, if that's a word. Six Ai-ins against one Israeli. They sent 3,000, so the odds were 4-1. Four men of Ai versus every one that the nation of Israel sent. Now let me ask you, who would go to war with those odds except somebody that was very overconfident in their abilities? In fact, Jesus said in Luke chapter 14, he warns us, he says in verse 31 and 32, or what king going to make war against another king setteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassages, and desireth conditions of peace. Jesus said, now look, if the odds are 2-1, 20,000 against 10,000, most people in their right mind would not go into battle with 2-1 odds. They would send ambassadors to the army that's coming with 20,000 and say, how can we resolve this conflict without fighting? How can we make peace with one another? And yet, the Israeli army went to Jericho with 4-1 odds against them. Because, you know why? Here's why. Because after Jericho, they said, look at what we did. Look at what we accomplished. They forgot it was not them, it was God. It was not what they did, it was what God did. It was not what they accomplished, it was what God accomplished. Nowhere in the first 5 verses of chapter 7 do I see Joshua or any of the people going to God and asking the question, what's your plan for Ai? What's the strategy? What do you have in mind? What do you want us to do? How do you want us to take it? I mean, if they had remembered that it was God that gave them the victory at Jericho, you would think the first place they go before they went into battle again was back to God. How do you want us to take this city? What's the plan? What's the strategy? The minute any people get overconfident in their own abilities and leave God out, the minute that they forget that it was Him, not them, that won the victory, they always lose. It doesn't matter what the odds are. I mean, it could have been 6-1 in favor of Israel, but if they forgot God, they'd still lose. In fact, there's examples in the Old Testament of where God allowed a smaller army to defeat His people because His people were not depending on Him. So I'll remind you tonight, all that's been accomplished in this place, all that's been accomplished in our church in 2011, it's all of God. It's all of Him. It's not of us. I thought again about that phrase. I mentioned it a couple weeks ago from that song, Brethren, We Have Met to Worship. That phrase that says, all is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One come down. It doesn't matter how many of us there are. It doesn't matter our efforts. Now again, I think there's strength in numbers, and I think we ought to work hard. And Kelly and I were talking on a Sunday night after the service, and she made the statement. She says, every time I sing, I think this may be the last time I get to sing for the Lord. And I said, I say the same thing. Every time I stand to preach, I realize this may be the last time I get to preach. And I think we ought to prepare. And I'm so glad that we have Sunday school teachers that spend time in the Word of God and prepare. But we need to realize it is not us. Unless the Holy Spirit comes down, all is vain. All is vain. So the first mistake they made, they got overconfident. They thought they did it. They forgot that God did it. Mistake number two, they thought they could take Ai without everybody pitching in. It said in verse 3, make not all the people to labor. Let's not make everybody work. There ain't many people there in Ai. Let's just tend two or 3,000 people. And so I want to ask the question, why not? Why not make everybody work? If they wanted Ai, everybody was going to enjoy the spoils. I mean, God said the first city is mine, but after that, you get to put it in your purse. You get to put it in your pocket. The spoils of the rest of the cities are going to be yours. And if you're going to enjoy the spoils, why shouldn't you be expected to work? If they were, if everybody in the army and everybody in the nation was going to enjoy the spoils, why wouldn't everybody be expected to go to battle? 2 Thessalonians 3:10 says, if you don't work, you don't eat. Huh? If you don't work, you don't eat. And so I'll remind you tonight, every person in this body, the body called our church, has a God-given responsibility. And we will not win. We will not enjoy another year of Jericho unless everybody does their part. It's not just the pastors. It's not just the Sunday school teachers. It's not just the deacons and the trustees. It's not just the ushers and the musicians and those that sing. We will not accomplish what God wants us to accomplish unless everybody pitches in and does what God has called them into this body to do. So number one, they got overconfident. They forgot it was God and thought it was themselves. Number two, they thought they could win without everybody pitching in. And number three, the third mistake they made was this. One person thought he could disobey God and get by with it. One person, just one person, thought they could disobey God and get by with it. One man, this man called Achan. Here's what he says. Hey, what I do won't matter. It won't matter. I mean, I can take that garment, and I can take that silver, and I can take that gold, and nobody will notice. And it won't make any difference to anybody. I wonder if we could go to Achan now and if we could ask the question, well, what do you think now, Achan? 36 men dead. You, your wife, your children, stoned and then burned. I'm sure in hindsight he would say it did make a difference. And it does make a difference. Now listen, we can learn from Achan. One person's disobedience brought judgment to the whole camp. One person's disobedience brought God's wrath on the whole nation of Israel. And so tonight, I remind you that individual obedience is critical. Individual obedience can make the difference between victory and defeat. Individual obedience can make a difference whether we enjoy another year of Jericho or a year of Ai. And I know some of you might be saying, okay, preacher, don't worry about it. I won't steal anything this year. Well, that's wonderful. I don't think you should steal anything this year. But let me ask you, what about that bad attitude that you might have towards something or someone? What about that gossip that you might spread? What about the kindness that you might withhold from someone? What about the friendship that you won't show? And again, I could go on down the list. Because, see, I don't think we have anybody in our church that's a thief. I don't think we have anybody in our church that's a murderer. I don't think we have anybody in our church that's an adulterer. We can check off most of the Ten Commandments and say, yep. But there's many things in the Bible that each of us need to guard ourselves against. Because in God's sight, there ain't no little sins and big sins. It's all sin. And how we treat one another, and if we are kind toward one another, if we are a friend toward one another, and if we make sure that our attitudes are right, and that we don't spread truth or untruth, I mean, it'll make a difference. It'll make the difference whether we enjoy another year of Jericho, seeing God work in our midst, saving people, seeing them grow, and having the Holy Spirit come and meet with us every service. What we do as individuals can make a difference whether we have a year like that or we have a year like AI. Like AI. Now, I don't know about you. I have enjoyed 2011. I want 2012 to be better. To be better. We don't have to learn the lessons that the nation of Israel learned the hard way. We can learn them from them. And tonight, I hope we do. Let's stand and we'll have a word of prayer. Be dismissed.